And welcome into our audiocast for Monday, April 21st, 2008 from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine. Brought to you today by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. When we think of victims of war, we most likely think of the men and women in uniform who either never return or come back injured and disabled. But their families are also victims, and retired Marine Corps Colonel Jack Howell is using aviation to help the children of those soldiers find solace and direction. The Teens in Flight program has already helped dozens of young people and is on the cusp of becoming a national program for kids who have already paid a heavy price in America's conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Talking with retired Colonel Jack Howell, he's a retired Marine Corps Provost Marshal. Colonel, you've started a unique program to teach kids to fly, but these just aren't any kids, right?
That's correct. These are kids from a variety of interesting backgrounds.
The main idea is to help children of veterans wounded or killed in action to learn to fly and derive all the benefits that learning to fly.
That's pretty much it. We broke the teenagers into four categories. The highest priority are for those teens whose parent was killed in action in Afghanistan, Iraq, Desert Storm. The second priority is for those children whose parent was wounded in action and severely disabled. Then we go to children who are at risk, and then finally to children from low-income families. And based upon their interest and an interview, plus a few other little things, we will select those we feel are eligible, and they'll get their private pilot license for no cost.
Okay, well, this started out at Craig Field in Florida, and it's expanding. How many kids do you have involved?
Well, right now, I've got seven in Flagler County, which is our newest expansion. Actually, it's our first expansion, and we have about 18 up in Jacksonville. And when I was teaching in the junior ROTC programs, where this program actually initiated, I had about 35 kids. When I retired from teaching, we continued this program and we became a 501c, and everything has been taken out of, you know, in kind. I beg, borrow, and do whatever I can to get the flight hours and the instructors and whatever is needed to make this functional. Our most recent expansion process is focusing right now in Colorado Springs for the family members at Peterson Air Force Base, and also, more importantly, the folks out at Fort Carson. And we hope to have that program up and running in June. There are two flight schools that have donated five spots each, so I can take 10 children in. They're going to absorb the cost. Of course, the idea is that I can find the funding, and that's the big part for our program, and then start providing the flight schools that are a part of our Teens in Flight program the funding to absorb their costs.
So far, everything's been donated and the kids are getting involved. You've had enough kids go through now that you should be able to measure some of the impact of learning to fly on these kids who may have lost their parent in action.
I haven't got those kids yet. That's why we're going to Fort Carson. What I've got right now are children from low-income families and some students that were at risk. Here in the area of Florida where we started on, it's primarily a Navy town. And I could not find those families with children old enough to qualify for the Category 1 and the Category 2. That's why I went to Fort Carson, because I know that the families are still going to be out in that area, a lot of them, because the base becomes their lifeline still, you know, for medical, for the commissary privileges, for the exchange, et cetera.
Well, nevertheless, you do have kids involved in the program. What's the impact on kids that you do have?
Well, it's been a very positive thing. You know, they sign a contract with us, essentially saying that, you know, they're not going to experiment or fool around with drugs. Of course, we drug test them. They're going to maintain their grades. They're going to stay in school. That they're going to be at the appointed flight times, because the bottom line is if they don't make it, we're going to drop them from the program. So there is a little bit of the teaching of accountability and responsibility for their actions. So this is much too much for them to kind of blow off. And, when we interview the kids, we can pretty well tell who's got the fire in the belly to fly, and that's what we're really looking for.
Have any actually gone through and got their licenses yet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got one recently been hired with the Delta Connection, ASA, and she just finished their check ride on the Canadian Regional Jet. And then we have some others that went into the military, so, you know, we're seeing this. We've got one young man that is 13, and just recently he flew from Jacksonville down to Daytona in a tail dragger with an instructor, but the kid flew the whole leg, landed the aircraft, you know, the instructor did nothing. The kid is that good, and he's got 100 hours. And, of course, his age precludes him from soloing, but this kid's probably going to go great places by the time he's done with us. I can see him going to the commercial airlines.
What's the military's reaction to the program? Are they encouraging you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is the meeting that I had at Fort Carson with the folks at MWR, that's the Morale, Recreation, and Welfare. They're all on board. The public affairs people are going to help me. And I even talked to the folks at the local paper in town, and I think that this is going to be an exciting thing. We're just getting ready now to solicit the interested teens so that we can go through the the process. And we ask them to write a 1,000-word essay why they want to fly. And then from that, we give them a second chance because most kids at that age don't know how to write with passion. And then we get them a chance to orally present their reason for wanting to fly. And between the two, we get a pretty good idea. We check their grade point averages and see what they're doing. And we've been pretty successful with the quality of kids that we select. And so I feel, especially with the Category and Category 1 children, as a military officer and having presided over many military funerals and presenting the flag to the next of kin with the appropriate words and the salute. But then you walk off into the sunset and, you know, these kids are never seen or families are never seen or heard again. And I wanted to do more. That was the genesis of including the Category 1 and Category 2 people after the war has started or had started.
Okay, well, it sounds like an inspiring program, Colonel, and we wish you the best of luck with it.
And I tell you, I thank you for your kindness in getting this information out. Our big crunch right now is to locate the donors that want to help get on board here. You know, fuel is a very big problem for us. I can't ask the flight schools to absorb all these costs, and I want to take this program nationwide. The next areas that I'm looking at are Fort Hood, Texas. I'm looking at Camp Pendleton, California, and we're going to even go to Camp Lejeune area, where I know that the troops are being deployed and up at Fort Bragg. But I can't do it unless I can start getting some corporate and some federal grants. Now, we're sucking it up right now because in order to qualify, I've got to show that, hey, we have a program in place and it's working. And hopefully I can bide enough time so that we can get some funding in here and start reimbursing the schools and the instructors for their efforts.
Okay, well, keep us posted, and thanks a lot, Colonel.
Roger that. I appreciate, once again, your help and interest in our program.
Retired Marine Corps Colonel Jack Howell. Comments on today's audiocast. Welcome, audionews at avweb.com. Today's report was brought to you by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. You can learn more at www.aviationconsumer.com. Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. Thanks for listening.